Welcome to the Biome Podcast, where we delve into the mysteries and wonders of our natural world. I'm Graham, your host. Now, each month this season, the podcast has a theme that extends through both episodes of that month. The theme for April is the exciting topic of gliding in the animal kingdom. From squirrels to fish to even reptiles, the ability for animals to glide has been found and developed numerous times. In this episode, we will be exploring the life of what I think is personally one of the cutest gliders around, as well as the role that gliders play in their ecosystem. So stay tuned, you're not going to want to miss this one. That being said, let's jump right in to the animal spotlight section. In this episode's Animal Spotlight section, we're focusing on a creature as mystical as it is miniature, the sugar glider. Native to the lush forests of Australia and beyond, these small marsupials captivate not only with their adorable appearance, but also with their remarkable ability to glide from tree to tree under the cloak of night. But what drives this fascinating behavior? How do these creatures navigate their aerial paths through the darkness? In today's journey, we will explore the intriguing lifestyle of the sugar gliders, from the unique dietary habits to the complex social structures. We'll uncover how these tiny animals have mastered the skies, what they find on their nocturnal quests, and how they communicate within their intricate social networks. And as we glide through their world, we'll also ponder some vital questions. How does the ability to glide benefit the sugar glider in the wild? What challenges do they face in their natural habitat? And, importantly, what can we do to ensure that the skies remain open for these incredible creatures? So stay tuned as we delve into the life and times of the sugar glider, discovering the secrets behind their aerial antics and the bonds that tie their communities together. Now, as we delve into the world of the sugar glider, let's take a moment to truly appreciate these captivating marsupials. Sugar gliders are part of the marsupial family, which means, like kangaroos and koalas, they raise their young in a pouch. But unlike their ground-dwelling cousins, sugar gliders spend most of their lives in the treetops of forests and woodlands. Measuring about 16 to 21 centimeters, or about 6.3 to 8.3 inches in length, and tipping the scales at around 100 to 160 grams, sugar gliders are about as long as the standard pencil and as heavy as a deck of cards. Their name, sugar glider, is a nod to their preferred diet of sweet sap and nectar, and their remarkable gliding ability. This ability is facilitated by skin membrane, which, like the Draco lizards that we explored in our last episode, is also called the patagium, which stretches from their pinky finger to their back ankle. So a little different from the Draco lizard, which spread the patagium out with its ribs. These guys use their pinky finger or their hand and their back ankles. When stretched, this membrane allows them to glide through the air, navigating the space between trees with precision and grace. These small creatures are covered in soft, pale gray to brown fur with a distinctive black stripe that runs from their nose to the mid-back, which helps camouflage them in the wild. Their underbelly, however, is a light cream color, blending smoothly into their surroundings, whether they're up in the leafy canopy or down near the forest floor. What's truly fascinating about the sugar gliders is their social behavior. They're incredibly social animals. Living in family groups or colonies that can number up to 7 adults as well as their young. Each group is a tight-knit community, sharing a nest, making their territory, or marking their territory, rather, with scent glands, and communicating through a series of vocalizations and physical gestures. At night, these forests come alive with the sounds of sugar gliders communicating, as they call out to maintain contact with their family members while foraging to warn each other of potential dangers. Gliding through the air with effortless grace, the sugar glider uses its unique physical adaptations to traverse the forest canopy. This remarkable ability is not just a mode of travel, but a critical survival tool. Let's explore how these small creatures have turned the art of gliding into an essential part of their daily life. The centerpiece of the sugar glider's gliding capability is the patagium, which we mentioned a few moments ago. A thin membrane of skin that extends from the fifth finger on each hand to the first toe on their hind feet. When a sugar glider leaps into the air, it spreads its limbs wide, stretching this membrane taut to form a square-like parachute that catches the air, allowing it to glide. As they launch from a high point, sugar gliders can control their glide path with astounding precision. They use their tail as a rudder to steer and adjust their trajectory mid-air. This level of control is crucial, especially when evading predators or navigating towards specific trees that offer food or shelter. Research shows that sugar gliders can cover a distance up to 50 meters in a single glide, though more commonly their flights seem to span between 10 to 20 meters. Gliding allows sugar gliders to escape ground-based predators and cross gaps in the forest canopy, ensuring they rarely need to descend to the dangerous forest floor. But what's particularly fascinating about these glides is that they are not left to chance. Sugar gliders often inspect their glide path before taking off. This behavior suggests a level of cognitive mapping, where they plan out their route and consider their destination before making the leap. Imagine the scene. A sugar glider poised on the edge of a branch, its large eyes scanning the distance. Then, launching into the darkness with confidence. Certainly no room to be scared of heights for these little ones. And then, let's not forget their dietary habits and the way these tiny marsupials forage in the wild. Sugar gliders are omnivorous animals, and their diet is a fascinating reflection of their adaptability and the rich biodiversity of their habitats. Primarily, sugar gliders feed on the sap and gum from trees. They have sharp teeth that are perfect for gnawing through bark to access these sugary substances. But their diet isn't limited to just sap and gum. These creatures are also adept at hunting insects, which are crucial for their protein intake, obviously. On a moonlit night, you might find sugar gliders leaping through the air to snatch moths or other flying insects, using both their keen eyesight and acute hearing to track their prey. But what truly sets sugar gliders apart is their method of foraging. Since they're nocturnal, they spend their nights gliding from tree to tree in search of food. Their ability to glide not only helps them cover more ground, but also conserves energy, which is vital for their survival. The forest canopy offers a buffet of food options, and sugar gliders are known to exploit this to the fullest. During certain times of the year, their diet expands to include more diverse items such as nectar, fruit, and occasionally even small birds or eggs, which they find by exploring hollows and branches. This seasonal variation in their diet ensures that they get a balanced intake of nutrients, which is essential for their health, particularly in the breeding season. Interestingly, sugar gliders also participate in what's known as sap tapping, a behavior where multiple individuals return to the same tree night after night to feed on the sap. This not only shows the ability to remember fruitful locations, but also highlights their role in the ecosystem as pollinators. As they move from flower to flower, or even tree to tree, they carry pollen. This, in turn, contributes to the health of their forest environment. Now, we know that they live in groups, but what of their intricate social structure and the profound bonds that they form within their communities? Let's have a look at these or at their social behaviors. Typically, sugar gliders live in colonies that can range from as small as one or two individuals to groups of up to 15 members. These colonies are tightly knit families, often comprising of a pair of co-dominant males, several females, and their offspring. This group structure plays a critical role in their survival, offering enhanced protection against predators and greater success in rearing young. Within these groups, bonding is obviously crucial. Sugar gliders engage in what is known as social grooming, which is not only a practice or a practical activity for maintaining fur health, but also a key social interaction that strengthens family ties. This grooming helps to establish and reinforce social hierarchies and create a sense of community and trust among the group members. Communication is another pillar of their social structure. Sugar gliders use a variety of sounds to communicate, including barking, chattering, and hissing. These vocalizations can convey different messages, such as warnings, food discoveries, or even reconciliation after disputes. What's fascinating is that each colony develops its own unique dialect or language, and it's a set of vocal patterns that are recognizable only to that specific group. The bonds formed within these colonies are obviously vital, particularly when it comes to raising their young. Sugar gliders exhibit communal care for their offspring, where it's not just the mother, but one of the dominant males also participates in nurturing and protecting the young. This behavior increases the survival chances of the offspring as they benefit from the collective effort of multiple adults. Since the young cannot actually regulate their body temperature until about 100 days old, having an adult around constantly also helps with maintaining temperature because they can snuggle up to the adult when they get cold. The depth of their social interactions and the complexity of their communication highlights not just the intelligence of sugar gliders, but also their dependence on each other for emotional and physical support. In the wild, these relationships are the backbone of their existence. Now, let's delve into the remarkable physical adaptations that enable these small creatures to soar through the night skies. Sugar gliders are a prime example of an animal that is perfectly adapted for a life spent gliding from tree to tree. At the heart of their ability to glide is the patagium, which we've spoken about. This thin membrane stretches from their fifth finger to their first toe of their hind leg. But the adaptations don't stop there. The sugar glider's tail is another critical component of their aerial abilities. Unlike many other animals, their tail is not prehensile, but is instead used as a rudder to steer and stabilize during gliding. This allows them to make sharp turns and sudden adjustments in mid-air, crucial for navigating through dense foliage or escaping predators. Additionally, sugar gliders have an incredibly strong limbs, especially their hind legs, which are not only used for gripping branches, but also for launching into glides. The strength in these limbs provides the necessary force for takeoff, propelling them into the air with enough momentum to travel distances of up to 50 meters. Their eyes also play a vital role in their gliding success. Adapted for night vision, sugar gliders' large, bulbous eyes are capable of gathering available light to see in low light conditions. This is essential for identifying landing spots and assessing distances at night, ensuring they can safely navigate their nocturnal environment. Just remember, each adaptation is a response to the challenge of survival in the treetops, and each one helps the animal increase its fitness or how many offspring it can have. But beyond their social interactions, which we've spoken about, sugar gliders display a variety of behaviors that are key to their survival. For example, their mating behavior is particularly interesting. Sugar gliders are polygynous, meaning that dominant males typically mate with multiple females in the group. During the breeding season, males will mark females with their scent, a behavior that strengthens social bonds and indicates mating preferences. Another fascinating aspect of sugar glider behavior is their territorialism. They are highly territorial and use vocalizations along with scent marking to define and defend their territory. This not only prevents conflicts with other colonies, but also ensures that the resources within their territory are preserved for their own group's use. Sugar gliders also exhibit problem-solving abilities, particularly in foraging habits. They are known to return to the same food source night after night, indicating a remarkable memory and understanding of their environment. This ability to remember specific locations and navigate to them accurately is a sign of their cognitive capabilities. These remarkable creatures face numerous threats, yet there are ways we can help protect them. Sugar gliders are currently classified as least concern by the IUCN Red List, but this status doesn't fully capture the localized threats they face across their range. Habitat destruction and fragmentation are the most significant threats to their populations. The loss of mature forests, which provide essential feeding and nesting sites, also severely impacts their ability to thrive. Additionally, the pet trade poses a significant challenge. Sugar gliders are often sought after as exotic pets due to their charismatic nature and appealing appearance. However, many prospective pet owners are unaware of the complex needs of sugar gliders, including their dietary requirements, their need for a lot of social interaction, and their nocturnal lifestyle, which can lead to welfare issues in captive settings. On a more positive note though, there are numerous conservation efforts underway to protect these creatures. Various wildlife organizations are working to preserve natural habitat and promote sustainable land use practices that support sugar gliders and other native wildlife. Education and outreach programs are also critical, helping to raise awareness about sugar gliders' ecological role and the threats that they face. Human interaction with sugar gliders isn't all negative. There are inspirational stories of communities and conservationists coming together to rehabilitate injured sugar gliders and release them back into the wild. It's clear now that if we are to ensure the survival of sugar gliders, both in the wild and as part of our global biodiversity, a balanced approach is necessary. And this includes strict regulations on the pet trade, active participation in habitat conservation, and commitment to educating the public about these delightful creatures and their needs. I think we're going to end the animal spotlight section there, but stay tuned for the technical section coming up next. I have a special invitation for all you wildlife enthusiasts out there. Are you passionate about the wonders of the natural world? Do you find yourself captivated by the stories of wildlife and their habitats? If so, our free Biome Wildlife newsletter is just the thing for you. Each newsletter is a window into the incredible world of wildlife, packed with fascinating facts, stunning photography, and incredible articles from the field. It's your regular dose of nature delivered straight to your inbox. But that's not all. Our newsletter also features content from the Biome podcast and the website, behind-the-scenes insights, and special offers that you won't find anywhere else. It's a great way to stay connected and informed about the natural world. Signing up is easy and completely free. Just visit our website, enter your email, and you'll be all set to receive your first issue of the Biome Wildlife newsletter. Stay in the loop with the latest wildlife conservation, ecology, and much, much more. So take a moment to join our community of nature lovers and get ready to explore the wonders of wildlife like never before. Sign up for our free newsletter today and let's continue this journey of discovery together. Now, let's get back to our journey. Stay tuned. Today, in the technical section, we're exploring an exhilarating aspect of animal behavior, the role gliders play in their environment. We'll uncover how these animals glide, why they've evolved this ability, and the unique roles they play in their habitat, from seed dispersal to pollination, and their place, in the food chain. Gliders contribute in a myriad of ways that are essential for the health of their ecosystem. But how do flying squirrels influence their forest or influence the forest, their habitat? What roles do gliding frogs play in the tropical environment? And how can the unusual habit of a flying dragon, what can it tell us about ecological balance? We'll answer these questions and more as we glide through today's discussion. So stay tuned as we unfold the stories of these incredible animals, their ecological impact, and the conservation efforts that are crucial for their survival. First of all, though, a bit of a recap on the mechanics and marvels of gliding. We did a full episode or a full technical section about it last episode, so make sure you check that out if you're looking for something a little bit more in-depth. But unlike birds that engage in powered flight with flapping wings, gliding animals used fixed appendages to glide from one point to another, harnessing gravity and air currents to traverse their environments. There are a number of reasons why these animals would develop this type of movement, such as escaping predators, searching for food, or finding mates. Now, gliding involves the animal launching itself from a high point and using its body surface to catch the air. This can include specialized flaps of skin, elongated ribs, webbed feet, or even flattened tails. The animal controls its glide by altering the angle and curvature of its glide path, much like a paraglider. Now, an interesting aspect of gliding is how each species has evolved body modifications to aid their specific style of flight. For instance, a flying squirrel has a patagium, a membrane stretching between its limbs and its body to create a wing-like surface. This membrane is taut when the animal stretches its legs, allowing it to glide through the air gracefully. So let's look at some examples of gliding animals. We've got the mammals. Perhaps the most famous gliders, flying squirrels, can glide for distances of over 100 meters, a record for mammals. These nocturnal glides are silent and effective, perfect for escaping nocturnal predators. Another fascinating mammal is the colugo, often called the flying lemur, though it's not really a true lemur. Colugos are equipped with one of the most extensive gliding membranes, each extending from the tip of its nose to its tail, which allows seamless glides through the dense forests of Southeast Asia. Then we have the reptiles. The flying dragon lizard from Southeast Asia can spread out folds of skin attached to its movable ribs to form wings, allowing it to glide from tree to tree as a means of escape and territory defense. These lizards can glide up to 60 meters or 200 feet, often using their tails to steer in mid-air. Then there's even amphibians. Gliding frogs use their large webbed feet to break their fall and glide quickly when leaping from height in the dense forest. This ability is crucial for avoiding ground-level predators and moving quickly through their arboreal habitat. And then we can't forget the fish. The flying fish, to be precise, as they can go for distances of upwards of 50 meters, which is about 160 feet. Each of these animals showcases a unique adaptation for the basic gliding mechanism. It's tailored to their environmental needs and survival strategies. Gliding not only allows these creatures to cover more territory, but also enhances their ability to find food and mate while avoiding predators. So what role do these animals play in their environment? How do they affect the wider environment? Well, some of the options are seed dispersal, which is an intricate web of ecological interactions. Seed dispersal stands out as a critical process for the regeneration and spread of forests. And gliding animals with their unique ability to traverse large areas of the canopy plays a significant role in that process. Gliding animals can carry seeds over long distances, far greater than those achieved by non-gliding animals. The capability allows them to effectively disperse seeds into new areas, which is crucial for the genetic diversity and spatial distribution of plant species. When these animals consume fruits, they carry the seeds with them and later deposit them through their feces in a location far from the original source. This not only helps in the spread of plants, but also ensures that the seeds are deposited in a rich supply of fertilizer to support their growth. And then we have flying squirrels. Flying squirrels are particularly noteworthy for their role in seed dispersal. These nocturnal gliders consume a variety of fruit and nuts as they glide from tree to tree. They therefore inadvertently become carriers of seeds, and studies have shown that flying squirrels are crucial for the dispersal of certain coniferous trees in North America. The gliding ability allows them to cover wide areas of the forest. Colugos, found in the dense forests of Southeast Asia, have a similar impact on their ecosystems. Each creature will have one of the most extensive gliding membranes among all vertebrates, which enables them to glide long distances, up to 150 meters or 500 feet in a single glide. As they feed primarily on fruits, they play a pivotal role in dispensing or dispersing the seeds of many tropical trees. Their movements across the forest canopy are essential for maintaining the diversity and density of the forest structure. And then we have the role of gliding animals in seed dispersal, and it's particularly important in fragmented forests where plant-to-plant dispersal is limited by gaps in the canopy. But by bridging these gaps, gliders help maintain a connected ecological network, which is essential for resilience of the forest ecosystem. This connectivity allows forests to recover from disturbances more effectively, supporting a diverse range of plant and animal species. Understanding the role of gliders in seed dispersal helps in framing conservation strategies, especially in areas where deforestation has led to a fragmented habitat. Protecting these gliding species and their arboreal habitats ensures the continued health and regeneration of forests, which in turn support a broad spectrum of biodiversity. While the role of flying insects in pollination is widely recognized, less known is, but equally fascinating, is the contribution of certain gliding animals to this vital ecological process. Gliders, with their ability to move swiftly and efficiently through the air, can also play a role in the pollination of various plant species, enhancing the biodiversity and resilience in the ecosystem. Gliders as pollinators. Gliding possums may not be the first creatures that come to mind when we think of a pollinator, yet their nightly forays into the flowers provide crucial pollination services. As they glide from tree to tree in search of nectar, those animals transfer pollen stuck onto their bodies from one flower to another, facilitating in the reproductive process of many plants. Then there's the ecological impact. The ecological impact of these gliding pollinators is profound. They're often key to the survival and proliferation of certain floral species, particularly those with flowers adapted to nocturnal visitors. In ecosystems where these plants are prevalent, gliders help sustain the plant population with other animal species, or which other animal species rely on for food and shelter. Moreover, their role as pollinators can be critical in maintaining the genetic diversity of the plant species they service. Then there is the adaptation seen from gliding pollinators highlight the intricate relationship within ecosystems. For example, the fur texture and body of these gliders are often ideal for picking up and transporting pollen over distances. This not only aids in the wide dispersal of pollen, but also in the genetic mixing of populations, which is crucial for the adaptability and health of our ecosystems. The conservation of gliding pollinators is essential, not just for the preservation of the species, but also for the broader ecological communities that they support. Protecting these animals involves maintaining continuous forest canopies and ensuring the availability of flowering plants throughout their habitat ranges. Conservation efforts must consider the holistic ecosystem, recognizing the roles these unique animals play in sustaining the ecological networks. Gliding animals not only influence their ecosystems through seed dispersal and pollination, but they also play critical roles as both predator and prey within their habitats. Now, their unique ability to glide adds a dynamic element to their interactions with other species, shaping their ecological balance. Many gliding animals are insectivorous or omnivorous, and their ability to glide allows them to catch a wide variety of prey efficiently. For example, the sugar glider, while primarily known for eating seeds and nuts, also preys on insects, bird eggs, and even small birds. This hunting method, which involves gliding silently from tree to tree, is highly efficient and allows them to surprise their prey. Similarly, some species of gliding lizards not only consume plant matter, but also actively hunt smaller insects and invertebrates, using their gliding ability to swiftly move between food sources. Gliders, gliding animals form a significant part of the diet of various predators, linking different trophic levels in the ecosystem. Their role as prey is crucial, as well as it helps regulate the population and, in turn, the populations of their predators. For instance, owls, hawks, and snakes often prey on flying squirrels. The survival strategy of gliders includes their nocturnal lifestyles and quick gliding escape, and it reflects adaptations to these predatory pressures. The dual role of gliders in the food chain helps maintain ecological balance. As predators, they help to control the population of insects and other small animals, preventing overpopulation and the resulting damage to vegetation. As prey, they support the survival and health of larger predators, contributing to the biodiversity of the ecosystem. The presence of gliders can indicate the health of an ecosystem, as they require robust canopies and stable populations for both prey and predators to thrive. The conservation of gliding animals is crucial not just for their survival, but also for the maintenance of healthy food webs. Disruptions in their populations can have cascading effects throughout the ecosystem. For example, a decline in glider populations can lead to an increase in insect populations, which may result in more severe damage to plants and disruptions in seed dispersal patterns. Conversely, a decrease in the predators that feed on gliders can lead to an overpopulation and its own set of ecological challenges. Let's have a closer look at specific gliders and how they affect their environments. We've already touched on flying squirrels, so let's look at flying squirrels in a bit more detail. Let's turn our focus to the most enchanting gliders in the animal kingdom. The flying squirrel. These small nocturnal rodents are renowned for their remarkable gliding ability. They're often used to navigate the forest canopies at night. Flying squirrels can play multiple roles in the ecosystem. As discussed earlier, they are key agents of seed dispersal and pollination. By feeding on a variety of fruits and nuts, they help to spread the seeds of these plants throughout the forest, contributing to forest regeneration and biodiversity. Their diet also includes insects, which help control insect populations and balance the food web. Flying squirrels are also interesting from a social standpoint. Unlike many solitary nocturnal animals, flying squirrels often nest in groups, especially in colder weather, to conserve heat. The social behavior is a rare trait amongst small mammals, providing them with protection against predators and harsh environment conditions. During mating season, though, their social dynamic play a crucial role in attracting mates and rearing young, ensuring the confidence of this or continuation of their species. Despite their adaptability, flying squirrels often face threats from habitat destruction and predation. Deforestation leads to the loss of their arboreal habitat, reducing their available food sources and nesting sites. Conservation efforts for flying squirrels focus mainly on preserving winter habitats and creating corridors that connect fragmented forests to allow for their movement and genetic diversity. Did you know that the glow of a flying squirrel's fur under UV light was a recent discovery? Scientists have found out that their fur fluoresces pink under ultraviolet light, a feature that is still not fully understood, but it's speculated to play a role in the nocturnal communications or predator evasion. Another extraordinary glider, though, is the colugo. It's often referred to as flying lemurs. Colugos are neither lemurs nor do they truly fly. However, colugos are among the most adept gliders in the mammal kingdom, with a gliding membrane that is more extensive than any of the other gliding animals. This membrane, or again, patagium, stretches not just between their limbs, but also from the tips of their toes to their tail and even between their toes. This extensive surface area provides remarkable lift and control, enabling colugos to glide up to 150 meters, almost 500 feet from one tree to another, a distance that is crucial in dense forests where they live. Colugos are primarily arboreal and are most active at dusk and dawn. They feed on soft plant pots like young leaves, shoots and flowers, and occasionally fruit. This diet makes them important agents of seed dispersal, especially for plants that depend on subtle movements through dense forest canopies. As they glide from tree to tree, they inadvertently collect and then distribute pollen, aiding in the pollination of numerous tree species. Their role in these processes is vital for the regeneration and health of their forest environments. Now, despite their solitary nature, colugos have intriguing behavioral patterns. They spend most of the day climbing, clinging to tree trunks, or hiding in tree hollows, camouflaged against the bark to avoid predators. At night, though, is when they truly shine, excuse the pun. They use their excellent gliding abilities not just for foraging, but also to escape from threats. Interestingly, colugos are very careful in selecting their glide paths and launching points, often spending several minutes assessing their route before leaping into the air. But what are their conservation statuses? Colugos are under threat from deforestation and habitat fragmentation in their native Southeast Asia. The destruction of tropical forest and the conversion of land for agriculture and rural development reduces their living spaces significantly, hindering their ability to find food and glide safely among the canopy. Protecting these creatures involves conservation of their natural habitat and ensuring that forested areas remain connected to allow for their movement and ecological functioning. One of the most remarkable aspects of colugo biology is their slow reproductive rate, which poses additional challenges for their conservation. Female colugos usually bear only one offspring at a time, which clings to the mother's belly and continues to nurse and glide with her until it's ready to be independent. This prolonged dependency means that any disruption in the mother's ability to forage or glide can have dire consequences for the offspring's survival. Now let's have a look, let's leave mammals behind though, and talk about a remarkable group of amphibians known for their aerial agility, the gliding frogs. These frogs, found primarily in the tropical rainforests of South America and Southeast Asia, have developed the extraordinary ability to glide from tree to tree. Gliding frogs, such as those in the genus Rhachophorus, possess large webbed feet that they spread out to catch the air during the leap. This webbing acts as much like a parachute or wings of a glider, creating air resistance and allowing the frog to control its descent through the forest canopy. Their fingers and toes are elongated, which helps to increase surface area that they can use to glide with. Moreover, some species have flaps of skin along the arms, legs, and body, enhancing their ability to go elite. These physical traits enable gliding frogs to make leaps and glide over 10 meters or about 30 feet, a significant distance considering their small size. The ability to glide allows these frogs to escape predators quite rapidly, such as snakes and birds, by quickly moving to distant trees, a method much faster and more energy efficient than climbing. Gliding also facilitates the movement across fragmented habitat, helping these frogs find mates and new sources of food, which is crucial for their survival in a dense competitive environment of the rainforest. Gliding frogs also important for the ecosystem because they are both predator and prey. They help control insect populations by feeding on them, and they're key food source for a variety of higher predators. Their reproductive habitats or habits contribute further to their ecological roles, and they often lay their eggs in water-filled cavities in trees, which provide a safe haven for tadpoles away from aquatic predators. Like many forest dwellers, gliding frogs are vulnerable to habitat destruction and deforestation. The loss of tree cover not only deprives them of their natural habitat, but also of the aerial pathways they rely on for guiding. Without these pathways, gliding frogs are less able to escape predators, search for food, and breed effectively, which can lead to rapid declines in their population. A unique aspect of gliding frogs is their vibrant and varied color, which ranges from bright green and yellow to a brown, helping them to blend into the foliage and avoid predation. Additionally, their vocalizations, which they use to attract mates and establish territory, can be surprisingly loud and are a distinctive feature of the nocturnal soundscape of their habitats. These creatures, known for their aerial adaptations, face threats from habitat loss, human activities, which are crucial for their roles in biodiversity and ecological balance. These gliding animals, from the sugar glider to the flying squirrel to the colugo to the gliding frog, there are a few things that are threats to all of them. Deforestation for agriculture and urban development significantly reduces their natural habitat. Increased risks from predation and collisions and the pet trade pose additional threats. But what are we as humans doing in terms of conservation? Efforts include establishing protected areas and restoring degraded lands and creating ecological corridors, as well as enhancing laws to help regulate deforestation and the wildlife trade. Then there's education and involvement in conservation, and it's critical for local support. Then we have research and monitoring, which is vital for understanding glider biology and adapting conservation strategies. I think we're going to end the technical section there, but stay tuned for a few moments where we will unveil the maze theme for this year. So stay tuned. Well, I think we will end this episode there. If you want more wildlife content, be sure to check out our website at biomedia.org and consider signing up to our free newsletter. Or if you want to get involved in conservation, become a member. 100% of all profits go towards saving species on the brink of extinction. There will be a lot more content and community of like-minded zoology enthusiasts on there, as well as giveaways, photos, and contests, and expert Q&As. The time you've been waiting for, though. In May, our theme will be migrations, so be sure to stay tuned for these wonderful episodes, as well as related articles on the website. A lot of new things this season, so be sure to stick around and follow us on social media at biome.media. And don't forget, we love hearing from you, so please do keep in touch. For now, though, we will be back in 2 weeks with episode 9. Until next time, remember to always ask questions.